Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Ideally, I would read for us once again this week verses 24 down through 43. For the sake of time, I'm going to begin at verse 24 and read down through verse 33, and the sermon focuses on verses 31 through 33. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? This is God's word. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first, and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' He put another parable before them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches.' He told them another parable, 'The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened.'" This has been God's word. Please be seated. So this morning we continue in the fourth sermon from Matthew chapter 13. This chapter, as we have been noting, and I have sought to stress week by week, it is parables that Jesus teaches about the kingdom of heaven. These are stories that have some analogy to different aspects of the kingdom of heaven. So these parables are intended to teach about the kingdom that Jesus brings. They are first and foremost descriptive of the kingdom, helping us understand the kingdom and how it is coming. And then only secondarily can we consider in what way they may apply to us or have bearing on the Christian life. Now, one of the things, again, by way of reminder, that Jesus has stressed is that a person can only really grasp the parables about the kingdom if they have been enabled to understand and receive the kingdom by God. Jesus uses the expression repeatedly, "If you have ears, then hear." You see, the whole nature of the kingdom that Jesus brings, unless a person has the Spirit at work in their life, they're not going to be able to see and understand the kingdom, because it's not like any other kingdom in this age. It does not have geography. Our King is in heaven. He's not here. it's different than other kingdoms. And people can't understand that unless they have been enabled by God to accept that and see that. And we see something of that even in what Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 3. Unless a person is born from above or born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. As a matter of fact, Jesus says this is why he teaches about the kingdom in parables. He tells these symbolic stories, and he only tells the symbolic stories about the kingdom to the crowds. But then, later on, when he is with his disciples, he explains the parables. And the very fact that Jesus does this, he gives the stories without explanation to the crowds, but then explains them to his disciples, it reinforces the fact that the kingdom can only be accepted and received and understood by those that God enables to. Only those that have faith in Jesus Christ will be able to accept the nature of the kingdom that he brings. Now, what are some of the things that we have noticed that Jesus has been teaching about the kingdom? And let me just briefly mention three main things that we have seen so far, because we have to have these things in place if we are going to then move on into verses 31 through 33, the parable of the mustard seed and the leaven, because the parables, they build one upon another. They are interrelated to one another. So what have we seen so far? What has Jesus been teaching about his kingdom that we who believe in him should understand? First, he wants us to know that the final form of the kingdom that he brings. And when I say the final form, I mean there is a day when it will be a kingdom of open glory. It won't be hidden. And it will also be a day where there is the final judgment of God's enemies. But that final form of the kingdom, he wants us to know that it's not coming all at once. It's not going to appear right away. The final form of the kingdom is going to be delayed. And we saw this emphasized in the parable about the weeds. When the servants come to the master of the land and he says, you know, you planted good seed, but there's these weeds. Should we go and pull them out? And the master, obviously it is Jesus being symbolized, he says, let both grow together until the harvest. And when the harvest comes, then there is going to be a separating of the people, the sons of darkness, from the children of the kingdom. That's when they are going to be separated. And Jesus says that then and only then that the sons of the kingdom will shine with the glory of the sun. The era of glory will not come until the harvest. And Jesus says that the harvest is the day of judgment. But until then, there is going to be this era of patience. The glory of the kingdom and the judgment of the kingdom will not come yet. In other words, if Jesus is saying that the kingdom is coming, but its final form is not yet coming, then it means that the kingdom is here in a different form or mode for now. It doesn't mean the kingdom is delayed. It just means it's coming in a different way right now until the judgment. Then the age to come begins. So what is the mode of the kingdom now? In what sense, in what way is the kingdom here now? Well, during this age, the kingdom comes through the effects of the Word. That is how the kingdom is moving forward, through the Word, the message of Christ. That's how Christ is bringing his kingdom in this age before the day of judgment. That's what the parable of the sower was all about. You see, the message of the kingdom, it goes out to all people indiscriminately. The message of Christ goes to all. Just as the sower of the seed scatters seed on all kinds of ground, all kinds of soil. And it is the Word itself, it is the message of Christ that makes it clear that some people are Jesus' people. They hear the Word, they believe the Word, they bear its fruits. But when that same Word comes to all other people, though they may have varying ways of responding to it, at the end of the day, that same Word makes it clear that all others are not Jesus' people. And it's only in this sense that a distinction is made in this age between God's people and those that are not God's people, those that are in Christ's kingdom and those that are out. It all has to do with the Word. Do you believe the gospel of Christ or do you reject it? But either way, whatever the response is to that Word, in this age, the power of the kingdom is in the Word and its effect. And then there's a third thing that we have noted so far by way of reminder. And that is that during this age, before the judgment and the age to come, that Jesus rules the wicked with patience. And he does so for the sake of his people. Again, this was in the parable of the weeds. Jesus is king. Make no mistake about that. His patience doesn't mean he's not in control. Jesus has been exalted to the highest place, and he has received the name that is above every name. And one day, at the end of the age, when the judgment comes, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But until that day, Jesus, the reigning king, rules with patience toward the wicked. He is not saying in his patience that what the wicked do is okay. He is not saying that their disbelief is okay. Patience isn't compromise. It isn't yielding. But he must reign in patience lest his people be destroyed. And we talked about this a little bit last week. If Jesus had assumed the throne in heaven and immediately came with final judgment on the wicked, where would any of us that believe on Christ be? We wouldn't have even existed. And God has been pleased that His people, humanly speaking, are descendants of weeds. And if He would have pulled out all the weeds all along the way, then He would have lost His people. And He loses none. Jesus loses none that He has died for. And so He reigns in patience. His patience does not mean that the church doesn't evangelize. His patience means that the church does evangelize, that we go to all. It's the ministry of the seed that goes to all indiscriminately. It doesn't mean, Jesus' patience doesn't mean that the church just allows any and all into her membership, regardless of what they believe, regardless of what their life is like. No, He's established a government in His church, and by the keys of the kingdom, again, the Word makes a distinction. Who is to be in His visible people in this world, and who is to be excluded? And Jesus isn't saying to do away with that. But inasmuch as Jesus rules and reigns the wicked in this age with patience, and He says, leave them alone. Let them grow together, wheat and tares, until the harvest. It means that the church does not and must not have any kind of an agenda to exterminate and get rid of unbelievers. We are to be patient. We are to evangelize because among them, among those that appear to be weeds today, there are some that will come to believe on Christ, and we don't know who they are. Now, with all that in mind, we come to these two brief parables. The parable of the mustard seed and the leaven. These parables build on the two-age scheme that has been presented in the parable of the weeds. There is this age, the age where the word is scattered, the seed is scattered. There is this age where Jesus rules in patience. Then there is the day of judgment, and that opens up the age to come. And these parables, the parable of the mustard seed and leaven, are immediately added to that parable with its two-age scheme in order to reinforce that scheme. These parables are given so that we can stand back and with fairly short, simple parables, stand back and as Christ's people, take in the whole of what's going on. He does not explain these two parables, which is an indication we are to understand them in light of the explanation that He does specifically give about the parable of the sower and the parable of the weeds. So, how do the parables of the mustard seed and leaven help us further understand the kingdom that Jesus brings? And I want to just lay out, as briefly as I can, three main things that we see. First, both of these parables underscore the two distinct modes of the kingdom. One mode that pertains to this age, and a distinct mode of the kingdom that pertains to the age to come. Notice what Jesus says beginning in verse 31. He put another parable before them saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field." So the kingdom now is being likened to a single mustard seed. And a man takes it and he sows it in his field. Then notice what Jesus says. Again, his words speak in the extremes. It is the smallest of all seeds. When we consider the kingdom as a seed, it is the smallest. But when it has grown, we're at the other extreme, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree. It's even tree-like, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. Evidently, of all the seeds that they would have gone out and intentionally planted in their fields and their gardens, the smallest of them was the mustard seed. And Jesus is saying, again, building on this two-age scheme, he says the kingdom of heaven in this age, before the judgment, before the age to come, it's going to be likened to mustard seed. It's the smallest. It seems to be the most insignificant. It seems to be the most vulnerable. To the eyes and the evaluation of men with natural eyes, it seems silly. It seems insignificant. People believing in a Savior that they've never seen, a Savior that lets them suffer and even die at the hands of those who mock their faith. What kind of a kingdom is that? Seems to be people just hearing and believing words. It seems so small, so insignificant. And Jesus says, yes, that is what the kingdom's like. It's like a grain of mustard seed when it's planted. But he says, that seed that we plant, that's the smallest of any of the seeds we plant, when it is full grown, it's tree-like. It is substantial enough, tall enough, has enough branchiness to it that even, you know, certainly eagles don't come and make nests in mustard plants, but certainly small birds would be able to make nests in its branches. It becomes the largest of the things that we grow in the garden. And he says, that's how it's going to be with my kingdom. In the era of the planting of the seed, the scattering of seed, and my patience with the wicked, my kingdom is going to seem like a grain of mustard seed. But do you see what else he wants you to know, dear Christian? The day is coming when it will be the largest. The Christian wins. Whatever you lose now, whatever you suffer now on account of Christ, whatever friends you lose, whatever mocking you endure, you are now a part of that kingdom that is one day going to be the biggest. You are an overcomer in Christ. You will not and you cannot lose. But the kingdom is going to be manifested in these extremes. But don't let how small it is bother you. And then he goes on, lest we miss the point. He adds this second parable to emphasize this two-age scheme. This age, how the kingdom is in this age, and then how it will be in the age to come. Verse 33, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened. And I trust we all know enough about bread making that you have to start with a little bit of leaven. I mean, you can have like a starter. You know, you take a piece of what you had before and you put it in the next thing and let that go for a while. Of course, now we buy little packets of yeast and all that sort of thing. But the point is, it seems insignificant. Matter of fact, Jesus uses the word hidden. The woman hides it. Where's it at? Where's the yeast? Where's the leaven? You can't find it. Oh, but wait a while, and you'll see that the leaven has spread, and it becomes the whole. Dear Christian, do you feel like sometimes you're hidden? Well, it is hidden. The glory of your Savior is hidden. No one sees him reigning on the throne in heaven. No one else sees him. You haven't seen him. But you believe in him. And you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, because you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. What is hidden now? The kingdom that nobody can find. It doesn't have a piece of land. It doesn't have a headquarters. One day, not only is Jesus' kingdom going to be the largest, one day it's going to be the whole. There will be no rivals. Jesus reigns now until all his enemies are made a footstool for his feet. And believer in Christ, that day is coming. The day comes when all the enemies of Christ will be subdued. And we won't be a hidden people. His kingdom will be the whole. There won't be any rivals. There won't be any runners up. 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus will give the perfected kingdom to the Father, and God will be all in all. And that will never end. But the kingdom comes in these two modes. What is now smallest will be largest. What is now hidden will be the whole. Second, both parables, that is the parable of the mustard seed and leaven, both parables underscore that the first phase of the kingdom is necessary to the second eternal phase of the kingdom. You are never going to have a mustard plant that is mature unless you start with the seed. And you are not going to have a large amount of leavened dough, at least not with the kind of bacteria in it that you want, unless you introduce your starter, your yeast that you want. This phase that we are in, it is necessary for what is yet to come. There must be patience now for the kingdom of glory to be what it is going to be one day. This isn't about Jesus being weak. This is about our God being patient and purposeful. Our God is wise. None of us could figure out his plan. None of us would have come up with it. And that's because he's smarter. We're the ones that are fools. We're the ones that are dumb. God is the one who is smart and wise, and this is his plan. There must be the season of sowing the word. If all God's people are going to be brought into the fold, there must be the season of patience, lest they be destroyed. The age of things being small and hidden is purposeful. It isn't because the church has failed. It isn't because we're doing something wrong and we've got to stir ourselves up and flex our muscles and let the world know we're here. That's not what the is not a problem. It's the nature of his kingdom. And Christian, this means you must trust him. You must trust him with his plan and his purpose, and that he is bringing things about in exactly the way that he intends. Third, both parables underscore that the power of the kingdom is really at work in this age, even though it is small and hidden. I hope that we don't miss that implication in these parables. There is no, I want to put it differently. If the mustard plant, if the full-grown mustard plant is the kingdom, then the mustard seed is also a manifestation of the kingdom. If the completely leavened mass of dough is the kingdom of heaven, then the piece of yeast that was hidden is also a manifestation of the kingdom. The fact that the kingdom is small and hidden does not mean that there is no manifestation of the kingdom of God in this age. It's just not the final form. It's an inaugurated form. It's the beginnings. It is a purposeful, intentional beginning form of the kingdom. Jesus is reigning and ruling. He has completed his work, his ministry on earth. And the kingdom is really at work in this age. Acts chapter 1. The disciples ask, and this is after his resurrection and before his ascension, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom? That they're still wondering, when does final judgment and glory come? Is it going to be now? You've died, you've risen. Maybe this is the time. And Jesus says, it's not for you to know. But you will receive power and you will be my witnesses. You see, the ministry of the church, bringing the word to the nations, it is a manifestation of the power of the kingdom. It is doing its work. It's how all we have been brought to Christ. And that word is not weak. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Our Lord is seated at the Father's right hand in heavenly places. And the Father, by grace, has seated us with Jesus in the heavenly places. You see, the reason why the kingdom is really powerfully present in this present age is because Jesus has done his work. The final sacrifice, the only true sacrifice for sin, has been made, and he made it. And the sacrifice that he made was himself. And by his righteous life, he has won the heavenly kingdom. You see, Jesus has gone ahead of us. The kingdom has come in him. And now, as he reigns in heaven, it's coming to his people in the Word as he reigns in patience. And we who believe in Christ, if you believe in Christ, you have the benefits of his kingdom now. Jesus says in John 5, 24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life." This is the already-ness of it. It's begun. It's been inaugurated. If you have the Spirit and you believe on Christ, you have eternal life. You don't yet enjoy it in its final form, but you have it. You really have it. And Jesus goes on. He does not come into judgment. Why? Because Jesus has already undergone the judgment you deserve on your behalf. It cannot be that the believer in Christ will come into judgment. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. These are wonderful things. I hope you take up these words in the power of the Spirit. Think about them. Believe them. Hide them in your heart. Cherish these truths. Because for the believer in Christ, these aren't just philosophies and ideas. This is truth. This is what you have. You are a citizen of heaven. You are a citizen, and yet you wait for the appearing of your Savior. And when he appears, then he will transform you. So take comfort. Though you are a part of a kingdom that now is as the mustard seed, that now is as a piece of leaven introduced and hidden. If you believe in Christ, you have his kingdom, you have eternal life, you have passed from death into life, you will not come into judgment, and there is a day of glory for you. And not just for you individually, but for the whole of Christ's people. This is our hope. And our Savior is going to give us now a token of that kingdom life that we have in him. He spreads a table before us with his word. He sets us apart bread and wine for us, that we may feed on him in faith. And enjoy now by faith this taste of the kingdom that we already enjoy and will come to participate in the day of glory. Let's pray together. Our Father, we ask that now you will bless this meal, empower it by your Holy Spirit to nourish us in our Savior. In Christ's name we pray, amen.